God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to open the scripture. We pray, Lord, that you would give us help as we look at these passages concerning the subject of marriage, the covenant that you ordained between a husband and a wife. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with insight and an unction from the Holy One. We commit this time into your hand, Lord, as you will use us as vessels that you have endowed us with your grace. You have helped us, Lord, these 35 years of our own marriage. You have helped us. We can't take credit for anything. So as we commit this time into your hands, Lord, we pray that there would be an impartation of life. We bless you and we give you praise, Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. I have my wife, Pastor Kathy Copeland, joining me.
Hi.
As we promised you all on previous podcasts that we were going to be dealing with the subject of marriage. And it's a broad topic, a broad discussion. And I felt like I needed help. So the helper that I was blessed with is my wife here, who we have been married by God's grace, not on our own, for 35 years this past July.
Wow.
And we can only say, Lord, we thank you.
Thank
because
you, Lord.
It didn't start the way we intended, but God has certainly brought about a wonderful ending and an in-between that has blessed our entire house. So we want to start by just sharing some materials with you. Marriage is a great mystery, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30 or 31. It says, for this is a great mystery, marriage, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we can't share all the principles there are as it relates to marriage, but we can share out of the Word of God what has helped us, and we trust that it will be a blessing to you.
Yes.
This year we attended a Christian couples retreat. And the pattern, or the theme was God's pattern and provision for your marriage. The mystery and miracle of a Christ-centered, Christ-focused, Christ-empowered matrimony. And I know that's a mouthful, but I can tell you, having attended it, it was a great blessing to both of us.
Amazing.
Eye-opening, enlightening,
amazingly
and all the stuff that's out there concerning marriage and couples and retreats. This was far beyond anything that we could have prepared for. Also, there are other materials that we can get into your hands if you're interested. One is building a fulfilling marital relationship. These are based on studies and Bible outlines from Peace House Discipleship Works that Pastor Kathy and I have been connected to. This is like the 20th year that I give God praise for being connected to this discipleship labor that has transformed and changed my life completely. Brought me into an understanding of the new creation, as well as the new creation marriage that we're learning the principles about. We don't know these principles. We were just religious. We just went to church. I just pastored. But we didn't know anything as far as biblical principles that are brought out. Like, for example, this book, No More Two, God's Principles for Marriage by our dear friend and brother, Billy Akani. This will change your life.
Yes,
this has
will.
Changed our life.
Absolutely.
And when the Lord blesses us to counsel and marry couples, this is a gift that we give to them because we know the kind of help that it will be. So let us know if you're interested in those materials. We can get them to you by God's grace. So I want to open with a passage in Exodus chapter 12, and this is going to be a text. The Lord, and Kat, you know, the Lord has been helping me in my writing. We've started writing. Just as God is revealing principles and truths to us, we need help because we don't know everything there is to know about that aspect, but the Lord is helping us. And with the Lord's help, we're going to be sharing some excerpts from a book that we've started working on. And I just want to look at this passage in Exodus chapter 12. Mm-hmm. If you guys have your Bibles, turn with us, or your devices. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 1 and read down. And if you're familiar with the passage of scripture that we're turning to, mm-hmm. Exodus 12 outlines God's plan of deliverance for the children of Israel. And the structure by which God did that began with the family. Mm-hmm. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read down a few verses, and I have the King James Version of the Bible. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Mm-hmm. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them, notice, every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. Notice, here's the text, a lamb for a house. Now, again, this is for the children of Israel. This is not for those who are in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Yeah. And those who belong to God mm-hmm. were being brought out of mm-hmm. the world by a great deliverance, a promise that had been made, that they were going to go into bondage for 400 years. After that, God was going to deliver them out of the bondage. And this is the beginning stages. Notice how God goes about. Verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Notice, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Then it gives an explanation on the type of lamb and all of that and what to do with instructions. We just want to stop here to begin to share with you about how important a lamb is needed for every house. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about the children of Israel. We're not talking about those who were in Egypt, because those Egyptian homes were about to be visited by the death angel. They were coming into judgment. Pharaoh did not want to heed any of God's instructions on the plagues that were given, and he did not want that. So God began to arrange the deliverance for his children, for his people. So these instructions are specific. They're not broad where anybody can try this and it works. No, they're designated and reserved for the children of God. Now, if those of you that are married outside the boundaries of God's grace, you're going to struggle. I don't mean to prophesy gloom and doom, but the arrangement that God established between husband and wife was for his children. So this is for children of God. The principles of marriage. As a matter of fact, marriage isn't even for unbelievers. Marriage is never for unbelievers. So this is why we have the nation that we have, the predicament that we have today. People coming together as domestic partners and all these other reasons. And it's outside of the context that God originated. Now, those who are in darkness are blind, right? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So anyone that is an unbeliever is blind. They're not going to understand these principles, nor can they know them, because they're in darkness. Our appeal is to those of you that are in light, those of you that have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, husbands that have given their lives to Christ, and wives that have given their lives to this covenant that called marriage. These principles are for you. Now, what's outlined is what is needed primarily in the home. And what I want you guys to see out of this passage, it's not money. It's not finance. Too many couples are deceived into thinking that we need a certain amount of money for this marriage to work. It's not true. But you do need a lamb. A lamb for every house. Now, Kat, before I give you a space to give some input here, what I want you guys to see is that God is turning the tide for these that are in Christ. Because he says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. In other words, what God was establishing in the family was a new beginning. It's going to be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year, notice, to you. Now, according to the Jewish calendar, it wasn't the first month of the year. But God said, because of what I'm doing, it's going to be the first month of the year to you.
Right.
Because of what I'm getting ready to do. Every marriage needs that day that God established them. Is it a new day for you, my brother, my sister? We have encountered a new day in our marriage, a new time, a new season where God is doing something fresh that's not religious. It's not church-oriented. It's Christ-centered. Too many religious marriages are falling apart because Christ is not central. So that's the first point I wanted to bring, Kat. And then he says, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb. What I want you all to see is that the wife wasn't responsible for taking the lamb. The man was. If there's not a man in the house, the lamb will never come forth. The instruction here was given to the man. Notice, to them, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. That's the context that we have here. Now, we know that that lamb in the New Testament context is who?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is the lamb without spot. He is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
This is the context by which deliverance was coming to the children of Israel. That without a lamb, they couldn't be delivered.
That's right. And even in John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter and that 29th verse, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world."
Wow.
So every house has to see. They have to behold the Lamb.
Yes.
They have to identify the Lamb in their house so that that house can be blessed, so that that house can have the Lord Jesus Christ in that home.
Yes.
And that whole home can be blessed of the Lord.
Yes.
But if you don't behold, like John said, he saw.
Behold. The Lamb of God.
Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So you understand why he is here. His reason for being here is to take away the sin of the world. So you can't be one that still has sin in their heart and can identify. Those people of the world can't identify.
They can't.
They can't identify him. They can't identify with the Lamb.
Yes.
But if you have taken him, if you behold him and see him as the Lamb of God, then that Lamb can be in that household.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree completely. I think that's what we're suffering from.
Yes.
You know, so many couples have yet to behold the Lamb.
Yes.
And I think primarily because as we go back to the passage in Exodus, is because the man hasn't taken the lamb.
Right.
He's responsible for this. So this is not the wife,
with him.
Right, going out there, securing the lamb from church and bringing him back home and making everybody partake. No, the man went and got the lamb. It was important for these instructions to be properly followed. Because the death angel is coming to visit the home.
Absolutely.
So there are other instructions given. But what I want you all to see, what we don't have today in our society, unfortunately, is the proper structure of the home.
Yes.
Too many people say, if he broke, I ain't marrying him. And we act like money is the resolve to every issue in the home.
Right.
But why do we have people with so much money and resources divorcing? And why do we have prenuptial agreements? See, that's unheard of in the covenant that we're discussing here. That's something that the world belched up, that other people who say they're Christian are following, and it's not according to Scripture. So if we want to see changes in the home, we have to come back to the right standard.
Yeah.
Not just anything is going to work. All this love language junk that I never got into that stuff. I never understood it. Yeah. It doesn't. And the only reason why I'm not bashing, Yeah. If it's helping couples, great. But what I do know, honey, is that the love language doesn't deal with the flesh.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't deal with the old Adamic nature.
Yes.
Just something that somebody came up with that was catchy. Mm-hmm. You know, we love catchy phrases in America. Mm-hmm. And if it'll sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, love language sells. Yeah. But how many are actually benefiting from that? Yeah. I can guarantee you, even if you discover each other's love language, mm-hmm. without a lamb, that home will perish. That home will not work. It was just a matter of time before those children are wayward and they won't be able to follow Christ because these that God was about to deliver, it wasn't based on the language of love.
Right.
It was based on the deliverance of God. Exactly. Y'all know where we get this mess from. But anyway, I ain't going to bash no more. I've been known to bash a few. But, you know, principles that work is what we need.
Mm-hmm. And principles that we need, that you're exactly right, because every man had to follow instructions.
Yes.
The man had to receive the command.
Yes, yes.
And if he didn't receive the command correctly, then
that whole house
will suffer. Yeah. And that's what I just wanted to say, is that, you know, with the man in the home, if they don't receive that instruction from the Lord, if they don't follow the instruction of God, they don't follow the command, then their whole household is going to suffer from that decision.
Yeah.
It's going to suffer. And it's not the wife's fault. You know, they're pointing the finger.
You can blame the wife because she's doing her own, thing. Right.
You know, if that didn't happen, if he doesn't receive the command, then that man and that household is going to suffer.
And
I would also say he receives the command, but the woman receives the command from him and obeys.
Yes, yes. That's right? What we see here.
Because if the woman was like, well, no, we got a chicken.
No, we ain't having lamb tonight.
I prepared the chicken, and I'm not just about
to fried this chicken,
in.
And we that's what we eating tonight.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So the woman on her end has to actually agree. The woman has to submit herself to the command.
Yes.
He receives the man can receive the command, but the woman makes
has
sure.
To fall in line
exactly.
With it.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
That's a good point.
We don't
see that in the homes today.
Yeah, it's so.
We see both people going in opposite directions and then wondering why it's not working.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But you people know, and then you know, charge. Before y'all go on the submission thing, I know all the wife got to submit. But you know, if you come back to the scripture, even before the verse on submission in Ephesians chapter 5, how about submitting yourselves one to another? So the submission is mutual. It's not just with the wife, because the husband has to submit to the command of God if he's going to receive it. So there are numerous issues and variables that make up a healthy home. We just want to share some of the principles that have helped us. Again, a lamb for a house. And then it gives instructions on what to do with the lamb. The lamb was brought into the house. The whole house partook of the lamb. Mm-hmm. And then there were instructions given to protect the home, which had to do with putting blood on the doorposts and the lintels. The lamb had to be killed at a certain time. I believe the instruction came that the lamb was going to be killed in the evening. And then they were in verse 7, they were to take the blood and strike it on the two posts, the upper door of the post, wherein they shall eat it. So the lamb was brought in. You're right, honey. It was the primary meal of the evening.
Yes.
And there were specific instructions given to protect those homes from the death angel that was coming. The death angel was going to take out the firstborn son of all the Egyptians, God said.
Yes, yes.
And that's what happened. The only reason why it didn't happen with the children of Israel was because they had a lamb and the blood was on the doorpost. And then we have the infamous verse, when I see the blood, what will I do?
I'll pass over. Yeah.
So that's what God does when there's a lamb in the home.
Yeah.
Catastrophes and things that happen to normal families and couples doesn't happen to children of God. We do go through things. We do have challenges, temptations, and tests. It doesn't remove us from it. But what's coming on the world is not coming on the church.
Amen.
What the world is experiencing in their marriages, that's not for the righteous households. No, we're protected by the blood, the blood of the lamb.
Yes.
So that's the emphasis that we want to make today. We want to pause by asking, is there a lamb in your house, sir? Ma'am, is there a lamb in your home? Single mothers, this is going to be hard for you to receive. But is there a lamb structuring and outlining the home for those children that you have? Or are you just trying to fix the husband so that he could be right, so they can work? And we have all these live-in situations that are ungodly. I know it may happen. People may have children before they get married or outside the boundaries of marriage. But that relationship cannot continue to build a home. No. A home is built by a husband and a wife that have children. And we're doing so many things in the world system today, it is ungodly. It can't be called a righteous dwelling or a habitation. Now, I want to also draw your all attention to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. We're going to come back to this passage as a text because there's so many pivots off of it that we can use to share principles. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33, isn't it interesting? This is 333.
333.
Just remember 333. This has to be the verse of the Lord because of the number. 333. The 3 is the number. Right.
333.
Right. Not 666. As a matter of fact, in John, that's when all the disciples left Jesus and walked with him no more. Notice in verse 33 of Proverbs 3 in the King James, it says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the righteous." So you see the clear distinction between those who God considers wicked, unrighteous, unsaved.
Yes.
Might go to church, might even preach. But ungodly. And let's not assume that everyone that mounts the pulpit is a righteous man. I wish that was the case. Unfortunately, today it's not. But here, what's clear is, you notice, the curse of the Lord. Now, this is kind of dealing with me because you don't find this phrase in Scripture that much. You find the blessing of the Lord, the word of the Lord. But seldom do you find the curse of the Lord and where it is. It's in a particular house. The curse of the Lord dwells within a particular home. That's why sometimes I know couples have said, man, it just ain't coming together, man. This ain't working. I know because the curse of the Lord is upon it. You can't make what's unrighteous righteous without the Lord.
Absolutely.
You can't make a home spiritual. There are too many people saying, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual.
Yes.
What's the source of the Spirit? If it ain't the Holy Spirit, it's an ungodly spirit.
Yes.
So he says here, excuse me, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation. Notice there's a particular house that's cursed, but the one that's blessed is to become a habitation. And I want to pause here long enough to ask, how many couples can say our home is a habitation for the Lord or a dwelling place for God? And the children live it out, not in confusion, not in error, not in unrighteousness, not going in a totally separate direction than what's being established in the home. No, the children will follow the pattern of dwelling that the parents agree on, because we know two can't walk together unless they're in agreement. Amos 3:3 confirms that. So we want to pray today because we know that there's disarray in homes. And there are many that are saying, Pastor Mark, Pastor Kathy, we tried. We tried to get it together. We tried to do this, you know. We tried to attend church when we can, you know. But now the kids are going to the Nation of Islam. They're going to the Jehovah Wickedness. They're going to all these other places that are that can't teach the biblical principles for the covenant of marriage. And that's what it boils down to. You can go anywhere and get whatever you want. But when you bring it into the home, if Christ isn't central, it's not going to work. It could be a temporary fix or a spiritual band-aid, but it's not going to bring the healing and the health to that home that's needed. And I want to pray right now in Jesus' name that those of you that are viewing will understand that, listen, you can't continue in a way that's the wrong way and expect God to circle you back around to him. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to come back in humility like we did. Lord, we've missed it. We've messed up. We've made mistakes. But we're trusting now with the new creation life to help. Yes, we apologize for how we've lived that wasn't pleasing to you in terms of what you've established in the covenant of marriage. Brothers and sisters, your turnaround can begin with simple repentance, because the issue of the heart is always the main issue with God.
Yes.
It's not that you're not faithful going to church. You might be. You may even have a message to preach this Sunday, but can't handle a wife, can't stay with a husband, can't work out what's needed in that home. So we want to pray right now for you. We want to trust that God can intervene in the situation. And in humility, brothers and sisters, if you come to the Lord and recommit, husbands and wives, recommit yourselves back to him, there's a base upon which the Holy Spirit can begin to rebuild whatever the devil has torn down, whatever the enemy has demolished. He can help you. So I want you to pray with us, Kat. Before we leave today, I want you to say a prayer over these homes, and then we're going to just trust the Lord to help them and continue to make an appeal. But why don't you pray over this that we've discussed today, and let's include those and agree together.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for every marriage that is listening, Father God. Lord, you know how to get the ear of every person, Lord God. You know every person. You know every marriage, oh God, of those that are listening. And we just thank you, Lord God, that every home would have a lamb, that the lamb would be the main focus of the home, and everyone will partake of the lamb. We thank you, Father God, that the lamb will do things in the family that no one else can do, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, that the man of the home will receive the instruction, receive the command, and follow through with it. And then even the wife, oh God, will be committed, Lord God, will submit herself, oh God, to the command that you have spoken, oh God, that there must be a lamb in the house if it is going to be blessed. And I thank you, Lord God, that the children will fall in line, that everyone will fall in line with what you are doing. We thank you, Father God, that you will be glorified and honored in each home, Lord God, because you love homes. You love family, Lord God. You sanction family. You even put a blessing on the family, the home that is dedicated to you, the home, oh God, that is just and right before you. We just thank you, Father God, and we bless you for what you're going to do in each and every home, oh God, that listens to what you have to say. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. We want to thank God for all of you that are joining us.
Yes.
And as the Lord leads, we'll be back maybe next week for more on the home with myself and Pastor Kathy. But that's all the time we have on this episode. So until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.